The Milwaukee Journal Sentinel Brewers podcast is joining you with some big news. It's not quite an emergency podcast because the announcement that the Brewers, or I should say the reports that the Brewers would be signing Mike Moustakas came down on Sunday. And here you are Tuesday morning getting your fresh update on the Milwaukee Brewers. But it is still sort of a newsworthy podcast with the Brewers adding an old face from last year's playoff run to the seventh game of the NLCS. Mike Moustakas back in the fold, and had to talk to Tom Hodricourt and Todd Rosiak about it. They are in Arizona with the Brewers. Spring training has begun, and you're going to hear from the Journal Sentinel Brewers podcast a lot more regularly now. My name is J.R. Radcliffe, host of the Journal Sentinel Brewers podcast. We'll be joined by those two very shortly. They're again in Arizona, and we'll have a lot to say about the signing of Mike Moustakas and sort of the revelation that the Brewers personnel expect him to be playing second base and keeping Travis Shaw at third base. Those two flip-flopped those roles last year, somewhat in the second half of the season when Moustakas was acquired before the trade deadline, and Travis Shaw spent a lot of time at second base, some of his first innings at second base in his career, and now likewise Mike Moustakas about to do something similar. He has not played second base. He's going to get a shot in 2019. It looks like he will be a regular in the Brewers lineup, especially against right-handed pitchers. So if you found the Brewers podcast, chances are you also know about our Milwaukee Bucks podcast, our Wisconsin Badgers podcast. Those are all available, and the Packers one. I don't host that one, but of course got to mention that one as well. Find all of those at Apple Podcasts. Leave ratings, reviews, let us know what you think. Please love those ratings and reviews, and they definitely help us reach more people. You can find me on Twitter as well, and shout at me that way, at J.R. Radcliffe, J-R-R-A-D-C-L-I-F-F-E. On Thursday of this week, I'm going to have a very special Wisconsin Badgers podcast that looks back at the 99-2000 Badgers run to the Final Four. We're getting close to March Madness, and the Badgers made a crazy run to the Final Four in that season without a lot of star power on that team, a very defensive, savvy team. And chatted with a lot of guys from that unit, chatted with Dick Bennett, the head coach. So put those interviews together into a pretty cool podcast episode. I'm going to run that on this feed as well, the Brewers podcast feed and the Bucks feed. We'll see how many people we can rope over to the Badgers side of things. And so you can expect a special episode coming up in a couple days. If Badgers are not your thing, no worries. Feel free to ignore and just wait for the next Brewers podcast to roll around. Surely that will be coming up soon now that the good stuff has begun. Pitchers and catchers have reported. Everybody is in Phoenix, the brand new facility, the American Family Insurance Fields. They are pretty impressive by all accounts, and now the players are getting to experience that as well. Let's talk to Tom Hodricourt and Todd Rosiak. They are the Brewers beat reporters for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. They are in Arizona as the Brewers have begun spring training. 2019 season is about to begin. Both Todd and Tom are on the scene watching some of the early stuff unfold. And then we already had one pretty big story. It's Mike Moustakas coming back to the Milwaukee Brewers. He signed a one-year, sounds like a $9 to $10 million deal for the 2019 season. And I don't know if that was a surprise. There was a lot of smoke around the idea that that Moustakas and the Brewers would reunite. But then maybe the surprise is Craig Counsell saying that he's probably going to be moved to second base with Travis Shaw retaining his job as the everyday third baseman. I certainly didn't see that coming. That surprises me. How did you guys react to that? Is that something that makes a lot of sense, or was that kind of out of left field?
Well, as far as Moustakas coming back to the Brewers, I think it would have been surprising if he didn't, because he's just been attached to him for so long. I put him in the same category that I put Kyle Loesch, the spring training that he signed with the Brewers about halfway through. I wrote a column saying I'll believe Kyle Loesch isn't coming to the Brewers when he signs somewhere else. And that's kind of the way I felt with Moustakas. You know, you heard about these other teams, that might have been interested in him, but it always seemed like the Brewers, you know, he spent so much time over the winter with Christian Yelich and Ryan Braun and Mike Attanasio, Mark Attanasio's son, in their California Strong project to raise money for the wildfire victims out there. So, I mean, he was almost like a teammate off the field. And then Ryan Braun revealed to Todd and I and some other reporters today that he was actually kind of an intermediary with talks between Mike Moustakas and Mark Attanasio this winter. So I don't know if that means he fired Scott Boras or what, but Ryan says he won't ask for the 10%, cut that the agents usually get. But that was kind of funny. And then the second base thing, JR, a lot of people said, what the heck? But for 2 months last year, Shaw played second base, Moustakas stayed at third. They decided don't fix what ain't broken. So they just left it that way. But if you go back and look at some of the interviews with Council about that time, he said they were planning on trying Moustakas over there as well. But they just didn't do it. They're right in the middle of a pennant race, and I think they decided don't have two different guys try a new position. So now they got 6 weeks, though, to see what Moustakas can do. He signed as a high school shortstop, so he's bound to have had some range and agility at some time. And I think people forget how good a third baseman Travis Shaw was. He actually had to remind me yesterday that he was in the Gold Glove finalists. I forgot, He went and played those last 2 months at second. You got to be pretty daggone good to only play 4 of the 6 months at one position and still be in the finalists for the Gold Glove. So, he had 9 defensive runs saved at third base. How many people do you think realize that?
I still think Brewers fans don't view him necessarily as a Gold Glove, a Gold Glove caliber third baseman, even though he was a finalist, but he certainly wasn't hurting them over there. And you think of all the shifting they did when he was at second base to sort of, I think, kind of mitigate him over at second base. It seemed to me that he still wasn't fully comfortable, even though he was making some plays and was certainly didn't look lost at second base. Some of the same things could be said for Moustakas. You saw him make some plays around the shortstop second base area based on where they had the defense lined up. Do you get the sense this Moustakas at second base is an experiment that they're going to try in spring training just to see with moving Shaw over there as kind of a backup plan in case that doesn't work out? Or do you get the sense that this is the only way they can get both of these guys on the field so that Moustakas is pretty much going to have to be second base if he wants to crack the everyday lineup?
Well, I don't think it's the only way, but I do think they want him to be the second baseman. This is not an experiment. This is something that they want to happen and think will happen. And if he looks terrible over there, I guess they would rethink. But I think that this is the way they want to go. And with you mentioned the defensive shifting, Travis Shaw said that the third baseman doesn't stand in the third baseman's traditional spot in the field in the Brewers' defense very often. Quite often he's over in the shortstop hole. More often than that, he's right behind second base, and then other times he's over there at second base. So they shift around a lot, especially against left-handed hitters, and so no team in the National League shifts more than they do. Orlando Arcia is the key to all the shifting infield because he's kind of the rover. They don't actually tell everybody else to get out of the way, but they strongly hint, get out of the way and let Orlando go get the ball. And he actually plays line to line. So we'll see how this works, but I consider this an experiment just like the American League taking the DH in the 70s.
Yes, one that's going to last for a while. Tom and Todd have been doing position-by-position analysis that you can read at jsonline.com. Mentioned Orlando Arcia. There's a story about him at shortstop, as well as the look at second base, including the news that Mike Moustakas has joined the fray. You could also read Todd Rosiak's story, as Tom mentioned, about Ryan Braun sort of playing intermediary, getting this deal done that, again, it seemed like there was a lot of discussion that Mike Moustakas would be coming back. Ken Rosenthal said it was seemingly inevitable at one point, which actually does kind of surprise me because he isn't a natural fit in that he doesn't have a lot of versatility in his on his resume that would indicate he's the type of guy that the Brewers would really covet for this infield position with the guys they got coming up who can play second base, knowing you got Travis Shaw at third. Do you think it was a situation where they just loved him so much in the clubhouse and he does have these connections with Braun and with Yelich that it just that maybe trumped the fit a little bit, that they know what they're getting with him and that they know they can rely on him to be a good clubhouse presence?
Oh, I think the bottom line is they think he's a very good player, and I think they're right. I mean, the clubhouse fit is great, the good teammate thing is great, the competitor thing is great, but none of that stuff really matters if the guy can't play, right? So I think I think it's pretty obvious that they think that he still is going to be a good fit for them on the field. They'll figure that out, you know, after these 6 weeks of spring training. It gives them another left-handed power bat. You know, we'll see what happens defensively. If Travis Shaw made the move over there and made it pretty seamlessly in season, you know, I'm sure they're hoping that Moustakas can do the same thing. And then, you know, they got two guys that are interchangeable, but it gives them that another left-handed power bat in a division that has, that is very heavy on right-handed pitching, right-handed starting pitching. And the fact that the guy's a competitor, he's got all kinds of postseason experience, and he gets along with a lot of the key members in the clubhouse, that's a bonus. You know, that's great too. So just on so many levels, he's a good fit. And after a long time of kind of back and forth, from what it sounds like, you know, Braun said that it was over a course of a couple months that the communication was going on between the two sides, and he was trying to keep the lines of communication open. And then they finally came to an agreement. So he's making about $3.5 million more in this 1 year deal than he made from the Royals last year. He came in later last year, but I guess both sides are happy to get this taken care of, and we'll find out tomorrow what I'm assuming what Moose has to say about this all.
And JR, let's not forget what this is really all about. This is about offense. They looked at their team from last year. They were one game away from the World Series, and they said, how can we improve ourselves? You know, we have a pretty good offense. We have most of the players coming back, but what can we do to get better? They identified two positions that they could tighten up offensively, improve there, and make their overall lineup better: catcher and second base. They solved the and you know what? They took advantage of a weird free agent market to fill both spots. Yasmani Grandal was out there looking for a multi-year deal, didn't get one he liked, signed a one-year deal with the Brewers. Big dollars, $18.5 million, but a one-year deal. And now all of a sudden you have a power hitting. He's a switch hitter, but let's just say power hitting a left-handed hitter, because that's where he does most of his damage. Then now they took advantage of another guy getting froze out on the market. Moustakas brought him in. It doesn't really matter that he's going to be the second baseman. What matters is he's going in the lineup. So now let's say this is game night. There's a right-handed starting pitcher going against the Brewers tonight. Craig Counsell's looking at his lineup options. He can put Christian Yelich, Travis Shaw, Yasmani Grandal, Eric Thames, Mike Moustakas, all in the same lineup, power-hitting left-handed hitters. What other team can do that? I've never even seen a Brewers team close to this kind of, you know, left-handed power out throughout the lineup. That doesn't even include two pretty good right-handed hitters, Lorenzo Cain and Ryan Braun. And as Todd wrote in his shortstop story on Arcia, if he hits anywhere like he did the end of the season, that's fine. This guy doesn't have to hit 350. This guy only has to hit 250 the way he plays shortstop. So now all of a sudden, you know, they have a chance to do what Craig Counsell wants to do, have an elite offense.
Todd, where do you think this leaves guys like Mauricio Dubon and Keston Hira? We knew they weren't going to be starting the year, presumably not starting the year with the Brewers, but now seemingly they've got a guy for the whole season who's going to be taking up enough second base, whether it is Moustakas or Shaw, you know, probably Moustakas taking up the majority of the starts at second base. Do you think we've seen a lesser chance now that we're going to see those guys at any point in the 2018 season, or do you think, or 2019 season? Or do you think we're still going to see a little Dubon and Hira before the season's over?
Health is always the major factor in what's going to happen with all that. But this certainly doesn't really seem to speak to the fact that the Brewers are looking to work either one of those guys in into any kind of prominent role. I don't know that anybody thought that anyway. But, winning and getting back to where they were and getting one step further obviously is the focus and the priority. And how do you do that? You do that with experienced, talented guys who have been through the wars, and what they have right now certainly fits that bill. So I think the Brewers are certainly content to send Mauricio Dubon and Keston Hira down to the minors. and give those guys more seasoning. And who knows? I mean, in September, maybe both of those guys come up and get a little bit of a taste of it. But there's still questions to be answered on both of those guys. Mauricio Dubon missed the majority of last season with a serious knee injury. Keston Hira, as David Stearns reminded us, has not played above double A at this point. He's got half a season of double A under his belt. So they're going to want to see him do more. You know, the bat isn't as in question as much as the glove and the arm at this point, the elbow. So those guys still have quite a bit to prove before they can be factored in as potential pieces to help the major league club. And I think both of those guys, it makes more sense to look at them as more prominent pieces to the puzzle in the starting next season in 2020.
Where do you think, a couple guys on the big league roster, I'm curious where you guys think Corey Spangenberg and Eric Thames are now. I mean, you mentioned Thames would be a big part of a lefty-heavy lineup that'd be pretty dangerous to any right-handed pitchers, but I think we've thought about him as maybe on the fringes of the roster already, and now you have another left-handed power bat onto the roster. And same goes for Spangenberg, a guy who was sort of signed as this infield depth position that maybe he'll be filled by Hernan Perez to a degree, although he may be needed in the outfield, and now you've got a guy to play second base. So do you guys think those two are longer shots to make the roster? Or, I mean, we saw last year how they were able to get creative and keep guys that we didn't think they'd have a chance to keep positionally, and maybe they could do the same sort of gymnastics this year with their roster. What do you guys think?
Well, Spangenberg certainly was not helped by the addition of Mike Moustakas. Because if he does turn out to be the second baseman, Spangenberg's a left-handed hitter. Even on a night when they're facing a tough left-handed pitcher, you would want a right-handed option at second base, not a left-handed. So that doesn't help him. He does have a minor league option remaining, so we'll see how that plays out. And then just what the construction of their bench is. You know, we thought Jesus Aguilar might have trouble making the roster this year, much less G-Man Choi, who made it for one day and helped win the opener in San Diego. So, well, you know, we'll just see how that plays out. Tyler Saladino, it probably wasn't helped by this because it's, you know, it's not as many roster spots open now. As far as Eric Thames, I mean, Craig Counsell flat out said the other day, you know, he's on the team. You know, the only thing that would change that is if they get a trade offer before opening day and they feel obligated to move some salary now that they've picked up more salary in Moustakas. Only the Brewers bookkeepers know, you know, whether how motivated they are to do that. But if he's on the team, what a great guy to give Aguilar a break on certain occasions against really tough right-handed pitchers. And he's highly motivated. I can tell you that he did not like losing his job last year to an injury. No player does. And he's determined to bounce back and do something about it.
There are other guys on the free agent market who do have experience playing multiple positions on the infield. Marwin Gonzalez jumps to mind. Josh Harrison, we've talked about on a previous podcast. What do you think made Moustakas more attractive than those options? Do you think it was a simple finance, you know, that they were able to come to financial terms that were suitable for both sides, or that, you know, Moustakas does have this track record with the Brewers, or do they maybe just flat out think he was the best guy available, the best hitter available?
Probably all that. I would,
1 year, deal.
Yeah, I mean, the as Tom just said, and I was going to say it too. The main thing is that it's a 1 year deal. Same thing with Grandal. You know, you hope that you catch lightning in a bottle. The fit is great. They perform well. And then it gives you options going into next year. Obviously, at second base, as we just talked about, Keston Hira will probably factor prominently into that position starting next year. So 1 year, the reported salary is $10 million. And then you're able to reassess and kind of move on from there starting next year. You know, these guys like Marwin Gonzalez, I'm sure they're still holding tight to, you know, wanting 3 year deals, 4 year deals. I don't know how realistic that's going to be now as camps are started and teams are kind of starting to set their rosters. But, you know, both Grandal and Moustakas being on one year deals gives the Brewers quite a bit of flexibility moving forward. Whereas to sign a guy like Marwin Gonzalez, not only would it cost more money, but you're talking about probably more years guaranteed, and that's not something that they're clearly not willing to do at this point.
Yeah, go back and look at all those deals that were signed by Jed Lowrie and all those third basemen, Ian Kinsler. Now, those guys signed a one-year deal, you know. And so what they wanted and what the Brewers were looking for, a short-term commitment at second base, were two different things. You know, if Keston Hira is the second baseman of the future, and Mauricio Dubon may be in that picture as well, then you don't want to tie up 2 or 3 years with a free agent there. Why should you? The Brewers are always going to have to bring up guys from their farm system to play roles on their team, because they can't have a $180 million payroll. So they're always going to have some cost control and bring guys up through their system. And you're going to see some of their young pitchers make the club this year because of the same reason. So, you know, Doug Melvin used to always say there's no such thing as a bad one-year deal. And his point being, no matter how bad it works out, it's 1 year and the guy's gone. So they spent a lot of money on Grandal, but it's 1 year. They're spending some money on Moustakas, but it's 1 year. And then they can reassess that afterwards. So, but you have to at least say one thing. Fans cannot say they're sitting on the laurels of being within one game of the World Series. They're back in full go-for-it mode again.
Yeah, with those one-year deals in mind, there's still a lot of players out there, and I don't know if we'll ever get to a point where a guy like a Dallas Keuchel or one of the closers that are available, a Craig Kimbrel type, you know, I don't think that those guys are going to have to settle for one-year deals. But even with what the Brewers have done this offseason, is it possible, because they're in this between space where they're capable of spending money and they're not one of the teams that are, quote, tanking, you know, they could potentially make one more deal if the price gets driven down enough as we get deeper into spring training? Do you guys think there's still maybe one last card up David Stearns' sleeve?
Craig Council shot that down today pretty strongly. I would guess if they make any kind of move to add somebody prominent at this point, it's they're going to have to shed some salary in order to do it. So anybody who's holding their breath for a Dallas Keuchel or somebody like that, I don't see how that can work or that can happen at this point.
I think you're way more apt to see a return of Gio Gonzalez halfway through camp because his other alternative is not playing this year than anybody like a Dallas Keuchel. So, as somebody that connected to the Brewers reminded me recently, you can count the big contract free agent pitcher signings by David Stearns on no fingers.
That's a very good way to put it. You know, it'll be interesting looking back a couple years from now at these trades to bring in Moustakas in 2018 and Gio Gonzalez, if Gio Gonzalez comes back, and you know the camaraderie they built, those players were able to build with the team. You know, what role those may have played in those guys coming back on small one-year deals. You wonder if if those trades had sort of that ancillary benefit, especially if 2019 turns out to be a special year and Moustakas or Gio Gonzalez potentially become part of it. So that was the big story. Obviously, not a lot else is going on yet. Like we said, the position-by-position breakdown can be found at jsonline.com. Any other observations? Obviously, you get to see the brand new facility there in Phoenix, and I know it's very impressive. You've written a lot about that. We've got a lot of photos, video at JS Online. Anything there, or any other takeaways from this team that have, you know, caused you to raise an eyebrow?
The two things that sort of stick out to us this year are the incredible renovations that they've done at the facility, which is now what, American Family Fields of Phoenix. What is that? AFOP. No longer Maryvale. I mean, it's stunning, JR, because this was less than 10 months they did it. And I actually checked around the back of some walls to see if it was a Hollywood set in which 2x4s were propping it up like, you know, an old West town on Gunsmoke or something. But no, it's their actual buildings with depth, 3D depth to them. And it's just incredible. And all this, like, artwork and history of the team and stuff that you would have thought they would have never got done, much less the actual, you know, needed construction. They got way more fields. They got so many fields now that we spend half the day trying to find out where they're working out. Which field did they go to today? There's fields that didn't used to exist out there. And so that sticks out. The other thing is, and I know people are going to crush me for this back in the frozen tundra, but the weather has been quite poor. Very, very poor. Here's an example of how poor it has been. The first workout was, what, Wednesday or maybe Thursday? So far, they have not report they have not started on time because it's so cold in the mornings. They're waiting for it to warm up a little bit so guys don't pull muscles out there. And you know, it hasn't been warm, but that's good because it hasn't been sunny either. It's been raining.
And just to give you guys an idea, I mean, again, not to feel sorry for us, but
and trust me, I don't.
The forecast high on Friday in Phoenix, the high is 49 degrees.
Ooh, that is.
That's like unprecedented. 2 years ago, yesterday, I believe, they said in the news it was 90 degrees here.
So again, we're not complaining. We're reporting. We're just reporting. it has rained twice, including today, and it's supposed to rain again Thursday and Friday. So it's not going to be just cold. It's going to be rainy. So finally, we saw in the extended forecast the middle of next week, not the middle of this week, the middle of next week, we're supposed to finally start getting some 70s. So if anybody's been thinking, should I come now or wait till next week, wait till next week.
I can also report that when I shovel, the snow comes tumbling down because it's a mountain where I would otherwise put the snow. So I'm not terribly feeling sorry for you, although I do respect that you go to Arizona with all this work in front of you. The least you can expect is good weather, and you haven't had that yet.
Yeah, I would suggest that the weather here is far more abnormally low for here than it is abnormally low for there.
Yeah, that might be a fair way to look at it. Any last thoughts from either one of you guys before I let you go?
Tom, go ahead.
All right. I just think it's going to be fun to start watching the pitching competition here soon. You know, they're going to start having a live BP in the next few days. I mean, you can pretty much name the team position-wise now, right? I mean, it's just very few spots open. So we're going to, you know, it's going to be interesting to start watching the pitching, see what happens there. That's where all the competition is. There are some new arms in camp. If they're not going to make the team now, they might help the team down the road. So we're going to be interested in seeing that. I mean, you go around the diamond out in the field, we can give you the team now. So let's just see what happens with the pitching.
I'm looking forward to Boston Market media meals at 8 o'clock now. Those will be coming up quick. So that'll be an exciting thing. It's something we always look forward to.
Todd Rosiak, media meal reporter extraordinaire, as always, reporting live from Arizona. Todd and Tom Haudricourt, both of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, again, find all of their content. They're going to send you 2 to 3 stories a day on the Milwaukee Brewers, and we know people are excited about it. There's no better place to find that information than jsonline.com. Subscribe to it. We've got the President's Day sale going on right now, so this is definitely a good time to get on board and check out all that we have to offer covering the Milwaukee Brewers. Thanks, guys. Stay warm, bundle up, and I'm sure your 70s will be with you shortly.
It'll be coming to us quicker than it's coming to you.
Yes, I know. Thank you.
All right, $1, right, JR, to buy the JS Online for 3 months. $1.
That's right. That's going to get you all the way into the, you know, the first meaty part of the season. So check it out, jsonline.com/deal, and we can give you the full run of Brewers content heading into this 2019 season. Thanks again, guys. We'll chat again very soon.
All right. Thanks, JR.
See ya.
That's what we got for you. Again, stay tuned. A couple days, I'll have that special edition Badgers podcast showing up on the Brewers feed. And if you just want to stick to the Brewers content, I totally understand. You will be hearing from us again very soon. Once again, find us at Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify. Take my advice on that President's Day sale. It ends February 21st. Get to it right now. jsonline.com/deal. That's where you're going to get great discounted. I mean, $1 for 3 months is a great way to start your subscription, your digital subscription to the Journal Sentinel. You'll have full access. You will not hit any of those pesky paywalls where you've seen your 3 articles for the month or whatever it is, your 5 articles for the month. This gives you a chance to check out the whole gamut, including stuff from me, J.R. Radcliffe. I'm writing stuff all the time and having a lot of fun. So check out the opportunity there, jsonline.com/deal. For Tom Haudricourt, Todd Rosiak, thanks for listening to the Journal Sentinel Brewers podcast this week. We will chat with you again very soon.